He punts it away. Low line drive punt. Rashad comes up and fields it on the run at the 32. Out past the 40-yard line. In the Titans territory. Still on his feet. Inside the 40-yard line. Inside the 30. Up the right sideline. Rashad Greene knocked out of bounds. Inside the 10-yard line. Boy, is it great to have Rashad Greene back. A tremendous return. It's first and goal, Jacksonville. Straight drop. Looking. Fires. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Julius Thomas caught it in the end zone. Bortles to Thomas, and Jacksonville has taken the lead.
Those fans were wired up today. It was just an amazing feeling to hear everybody just yelling Duval and go Jags, and just to be back home. We haven't been home, like you said, in a while, and we got some incredible fans that have stuck through it, you know, with us thick and thin. Just feels good to give them something to be proud of.
Tennessee has the ball on the 23-yard line of Jacksonville. The Jags have lined up all but four players along the goal line. They've lined up seven players between the five and the goal line. Straight drop, four-man rush. Mariota scrambles out of there. He's hit from behind. He's hit from behind. He is hit from behind. Andre Branch sacks him, and the Jaguars have won it. Andre Branch with a sack, and Jacksonville has won two in a row and three of their last four.
I mean, most important, that win, but to have it at home in front of our fans and the way they support us, we needed them that last drive and how loud they were. And you know, I don't know what to say. It's just a great win.
Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank, and Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters. I guess not happy with the five seed that Indiana got. Tony, no. Are we going to have some kind of internal bracket contest, you know, the Jaguars Today crew? What are we going to do about this?
If you want to.
Why
so
not?
You and I can spout our ignorance about college basketball.
Oh, I don't know a damn thing about college basketball this year, which makes me feel like I got a shot, because it is the year where we saw the number one team in the country lose just a boatload of times. There seems to be a lot of parity out there. So your picks and my picks may not be as off-putting as they are in some other years. So we'll throw it out there. We won't count the play-in games, the first four they'd like them to be called. But come on, the tournament starts on Thursday. That's when
for you, maybe.
It does.
For Vanderbilt, it starts tomorrow night.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. They're hoping to get into the NCAA tournament this year. All right, so we'll do that. We'll go through, I guess we could do it even Thursday morning. We could go over our picks before things tip off. Just shortly after noon.
We could.
So that'll be fantastic. I was not among those who was glued to the television waiting for CBS to stretch out the bracket
good
announcement.
You're lucky.
2 hours.
It was gracious. So bad. So bad.
Good. And so do we know? We have any idea who leaked this thing yesterday? We
NCAA
don't know.
NCAA is looking into it.
So the account.
We'll get right to the bottom of it, I'm sure.
the account who leaked it was named Richie. Just the name Richie. Richie IE at the end, and then he changed his account to private and then changed his name to 2016 KU Champs. So he's a Kansas fan, but he had a few thousand followers on Twitter, so I don't know how this guy got a hold of the bracket. Maybe he knows someone that works at CBS. I don't know.
Maybe he's really smart. Maybe he's got foresight. Time travel could
be
involved.
Like you said, with the NCAA investigating, we'll find out in 2018.
Sure we will.
2016.
Right. And then retroactively, like seven teams will be ineligible for the NCAA
yes
tournament. Something like that will happen. All right. Jags do sign Prince Mukamara, Tony. They don't get Robert Ayers. What was your initial gut reaction when you heard that Ayers signed in Tampa for 3 years, $21 million?
0-2. That was my initial gut reaction, is 0-2 on the most important aspect of this free agency season. The Jags swung and missed on two guys. And for a team that was desperate to add pass rush, we're basically a week into free agency now, and they didn't. I mean, they got better on the defensive line with Malik Jackson, and it's, for me, it was about, okay, we didn't even know if they were going to be that heavy after Malik Jackson. Turns out they were. They were obviously heavy in on Olivier Vernon, but didn't land him. He chose to go to New York, which is not the fault of Jacksonville, but it still means they didn't get him. So they didn't add a pass rusher there. They still didn't get Robert Ayers, so they haven't added a pure pass rusher to help out at that Leo spot right now. So my gut reaction was 0-2.
Mine was kind of like, you know, just like I wanted them to come, but if you told me or asked me, would Dave Caldwell sign Robert Ayers to a 3-year, $21 million contract, my guess would have been no. My guess. I don't know. We don't know what he offered on that deal, and certainly they were interested in, but Ayers had suitors, and Tampa was a suitor before Jacksonville got to the party as well. So didn't get him in. So, that's certainly one way to look at it. Did they strike out on pass rushers? Well, they didn't sign a pure pass rusher. Malik Jackson should help the pass rush as it goes along this season, but they did upgrade.
The pressure's just ratcheting up on Dante Fowler before he ever takes the field for this team. And I'm not saying that it's unfair to put pressure on a guy that you pick with the number three overall pick. There's a certain amount of pressure that comes with that anyway, but there was an opportunity during this free agency period to kind of alleviate some of that for him, and that didn't happen. Whether it's because the guys just chose to go elsewhere, they didn't pay enough money, whatever the reason is, Dante Fowler is going to be the Leo, and there's not a whole lot of help at that position right now.
All right, here's a question of the day that we ask you, courtesy of the Tom Bush family of dealerships, who gave me an excuse to use the picture of Beyonce biting down on her upgrade necklace. After the initial wave of free agent signings for the Jags, which positions on the Jaguars are still in need, or the biggest need of an upgrade, either what single position or what positions across the board are you still looking for more to come from the Jags, whether it's through free agency or the draft? Kelvin Beachum, by the way, the offensive lineman formerly with the Pittsburgh Steelers, will be in visiting today, is what I believe Josina Anderson reported on Saturday afternoon. So more offensive line depth, I think, more than anything, possibly getting signed within the next several hours. We'll see how the visit goes, obviously, and what other suitors may be interested in him as well. John Osher going to join us from Jaguars.com coming up in a few minutes. If you want to get in, talk about week one of free agency, 641-1010 is the phone number. That's also the text line to share your comments with us. Weigh in on the fan feedback question today on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. Of course, you can post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Prince Amukamara is with us, the newest Jaguars cornerback. What was the selling point here?
As funny as it is, me and Coach Bradley played a little bit of one-on-one out there on the court, and I'm not going to say he won, but I signed here. And because of me and House, Devon House, we have a pretty good friendship, and just talking to him and finding out what Jacksonville is about and the direction that they're heading, it excited me.
Back up, one-on-one with Coach Bradley, in basketball?
Yeah, I really don't want to talk about it, but been trying to rematch him all day, but understand he has a day job he has to do.
Apparently doesn't keep Gus from dropping a few threes from the corner on you. Huh, Prince? Huh? I guess that's the new thing. We're going to play you for a contract, right? He goes, well, I did sign here, so I guess it was if I beat you, Tony, you're going to become a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Yeah. Prince was and in that interview, I mean, he said it in the interview or right after I was there, he sort of thought Gus might have had a little bit of an advantage. He didn't say that Gus bent the rules at all, but he did say that the rims were a little unusual and that maybe Gus understood the rims a little better than Prince did.
Oh, he thinks maybe they were
a little loose in spots. So that was the implication, but it was all in good
when you
fun.
Hit it dead center, John, it doesn't really matter what the rim is doing.
From what Prince said, it didn't sound like Gus was hitting a lot of swishes.
Is that right?
It sounded like they may have
resting on the rim and falling in.
Home field advantage.
They all count. I mean, the parquet floor had dead spots in Boston Garden for years. So, that was a big thing. That was J.P. Shadrick along with the interview that you did as well on Jaguars.com with Prince Amukamara. Nice little addition on the tail end of the week for the Jags. You know, wasn't one of their priority guys, but you got a guy who can come in here now. Much like Cindric Marks was a few years ago on a one-year prove-it-to-me contract, who certainly has some skill but needs to prove that he can stay healthy.
Needs to prove he can stay healthy, and that's the biggest thing. And if you look at, you know, sort of his metrics or the stats or whatever, when he's on the field, he is easily a starting-level corner who can play at a high level. And when you looked at what they were trying to do in the defensive backfield last year, they really needed one more guy in some capacity in that top three. You got to have at least three guys in this day and age you can play. You got to have a nickel who can do that job and two outside guys. And really, they were trying to play three positions with two frontline guys last year, moving Colvin to the nickel, then back and forth. Aaron wanted to do that. I thought he did okay at that. But ideally, you would have rather had – you want three guys that you can play in those spots. And now, if Prince can stay healthy, it's easy to envision Devon House, Mukamara, and then Aaron Colvin. If one of those guys gets hurt, you're not all of a sudden reaching down to a point where you don't want to reach.
You know, Tony was talking a moment ago about the fact that you signed these guys, maybe somewhat of an indication you don't think Jalen Ramsey will be available to you. If, in fact, they're as high on Jalen Ramsey as others are, right?
I don't think it completely, because Prince is on a one-year deal, it doesn't feel like that takes away. If he's sitting there at five, I don't think they look at their
depth. And you plan on using him as a cornerback.
Right.
Right.
Or I've always thought if they got a free safety, that you could put him at corner for a year or two, and then if you really thought free safety's the guy, free safety's where this guy needs to play, after a year, if free safety you got isn't working out, you move back. Because everything can change in a year. You never know how people are going to play. So I still don't think, if Jalen Ramsey's there at five, I don't think they look at their whiteboard depth chart and go, no way. I think it gives them what every GM wants, and what David Caldwell always talks about, gives you more draft day freedom.
And the ability to truly pick what you feel is the best player available.
If they believe Jalen Ramsey is that special above the board, once in a decade player, then I don't think this prevents them from taking it. The biggest thing it means is they don't have to hope against hope that he falls to them. Those were the moves they made last week that took that situation out of it.
John Osher here with us, Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. That always gets him excited. We haven't talked to you since free agency opened up, and I know you've had plenty of time to comment on Jaguars.com and done a lot of interviews with these guys yourself. But among the one that got away, Olivier Vernon, got away in a sense. I mean, ultimately, they chose to say enough was enough. What did you make of the pursuit, the fact that Dave Caldwell said they went far outside their comfort zone in their willingness to pay him? And in the end, we'd all like to think that in the end it always works out for the best for the Jags. But this truly could be a case of, man, you might be lucky you didn't pay $55 million guaranteed to a guy who's had one year where he's had double-digit sacks.
Yeah, and you don't know. I mean, it's hard to – I'm always skeptical about free agency. It's not – the ideal way to build. They had to make moves to upgrade the defense. And you always worry with free agency that you're going to be sitting here in a year thinking, wow, this guy didn't work out. This guy wasn't a fit. It just didn't. You always worry it's going to bust. But I think I would have been just as worried if they had gotten Olivier Vernon and not Malik Jackson as the other way around, because you just don't know. Both of these guys are guys who have had a relatively short window of big, big production. They're both capable players. So, I guess there's so much unknown with free agency. I would have been nervous with Vernon, with Jackson, whichever combination. But I do feel like it feels like they got at least two guys, maybe three on defense, that there's no way that you look at and that their talent level didn't go up. It seems like they have two more guys that if they work out, teams have to game plan for, and they needed elite potential guys on defense.
And to the point about Olivier Vernon, we had Dave Caldwell in here on Friday with us in studio, and we're going to replay that a little bit later on in the show today. But you could almost see they wanted Vernon, and you could see when he was talking to us how much they wanted Vernon, but how uncomfortable that process was for Dave to have to be talking about that kind of money to go get the guy. I think he was willing to spend the money to get him, but there was almost this relief that I'm not on the hook for this one.
Well, as a GM and as a cap guy and as somebody who, you're inside the salary cap, so to speak, you know that thing backward and forward. You know what the right moves are. You know what the wrong moves are. There's no way that Olivier Vernon, and you can say the same thing about Malik Jackson. How in the world are these guys ever going to live up to that contract? I'm not sure you can. So from that point of view, there's certainly, as that number gets higher and higher and higher, and you're a GM and you're thinking, you know, there's no way we're going to get this much production out of the guy. Now, we might get better, but we are not going to be sitting here in 2 years saying, yeah, that was a great deal, no matter how good they are. So, yeah, you can definitely see why you become more and more uncomfortable with it. But Dave wouldn't sit here, and he didn't sit here on Friday. I was in the room. He didn't sit here and try to say we didn't want Olivier Vernon.
No.
Oh, no,
there's no,
not
question
at all.
You wanted, you know,
absolutely
but
wanted
at
him.
Some point, when you keep pursuing and you keep pursuing, and you realize, look, you get a sense that he wants to be at the other place. We can keep pushing and pushing and pushing, but if they're going to keep pushing, at some point the guy's going to go there no matter how much you keep pushing.
Or
at some
we're
going to
have spent
off.
Way beyond what we intended that his value was, and
right.
You're going to bring in a guy that may be doing nothing but chasing the paycheck and doesn't really want to be here other than the fact that you're paying
yeah.
him an
and I hate to say
amount.
That, but I don't know Olivier Vernon to know if he's that kind
but
of guy.
But that was the report. I'm not saying he wouldn't play hard, but the reporting was that clearly the Bright Lights, Big City aspect
sure.
attracted him to
yeah.
New York.
And you know, the thing to remember about this, and believe me, just like you guys, just like everybody, we talked pass rusher and edge rusher so much that when I saw the tweet and when I got the word that Olivier Vernon wasn't coming, I felt the same, you know, pin in the balloon deflation everybody else did. At the same time, we've gotten so Leo-centric and so edge rusher. Dave's point that I think he said on the show on Friday, you can get pass rush done. Teams have gotten pass rush with worse combinations than two really good interior guys, meaning Malik Jackson and Cedric Marks, and the number three overall pick in the draft.
Potentially very good pass rusher.
Potentially. Right. And if those guys are what most people think they'll be, then they could still be okay at pass rush. Now, you're taking a chance on Dante Fowler Jr. being what he's supposed to be, but at some point when you're building a roster, if you've taken that guy number three overall, you've got to hope that he is what you're thinking he's going to be. So it's not – you don't necessarily have to have three Leo edge rushers to be a great pass rush, although they certainly would rather have more production right now at Leo than they do.
They had Clemens and Branch took the most snaps last year as far as the edge rusher types, and then Ryan Davis was far down the list. He'll be back. Do you expect his role to stay pretty much the same based on how they feel about, you know, his effectiveness the more reps he plays? And, you know, then you've got Fowler taking one of those pieces
yeah.
of pie, right? And then you're still looking for somebody else to take the other one.
I would expect it to be the same. I'm not breaking any news here when I say I'd be very surprised if they've got two of the top 35 picks in that range. You'd be stunned if one of them wasn't an edge rusher. I'm always skeptical at thinking you're going to get pass rush immediately from a guy who's not in that second round edge rusher. Boy, that's a tough thing to come in and expect the impact that you feel like this defense needs from that position. So I think that's a little bit risky to think you're going to get that out of that. What I wonder is, as time goes on, there's been such a deal, and I haven't had a chance to ask this question yet, there's been such a focus, and we've all written about the lightning package, that three Leos on third down has been what they've depended on for a couple of years. It sounds like they're not going to try to depend on that as much on third down anymore. That they, you know, and I don't see how they can. If it's just Davis and Fowler, you're not going to have a three Leo package thinking that that's going to get pressure. So you wonder if that third down concept is going to change from, okay, we're going to throw all our Leos out there and go after it. If they think they have better pass rushers from other guys, Audric, Malik Jackson, Scuda, if there's a little bit more of a traditional looking pass rush than rolling out that three Leo on third down lightning package.
Yeah, and you can certainly see Jackson and Cedric both on the field on
right.
third down.
Which we've sort of pigeonholed over the last 2 or 3 years because they've never done it that way, that's not something they would ever do. I mean, every time we've talked about it, it's always been lightning, lightning, lightning. It feels like they think Jackson, Audric, Marks, Scuda, a bunch of guys can maybe get them away from that and still generate pass rush without going to all Leo all the time.
Yeah, and I think you pointed out basically for me what the disappointment is in this free agent class in not getting that edge rusher. It's that not only are they right now, it's Dante Fowler Jr. and Ryan Davis, and it doesn't sound like they want to really expand that role of Ryan Davis because they're very comfortable with what they're asking him to do.
I'm
they may
sure
have
if,
to.
I'm not sure if they believe that he would be good or as effective.
Sure.
Taken away from that role.
But you're also talking about now you're trying to supplement the pass rush with that number five pick or the first pick in the second round. And as you just said, it's hard to expect a whole lot of those, out of those guys. Well, the guy that you're getting on, and right now everything is on, and Dante Fowler Jr. is in the same boat.
Yeah.
He hasn't played. And so now you're talking about potentially having two of those guys that you would be relying the heaviest on to pick up that pass rush from that Leo position. And it just feels like a missed opportunity for them in free agency.
Yeah, and I think they would have rather had it worked out the other way. At the same time, if you're looking at the flip side or the bright side is that they did get a guy that they legitimately feel like is a potential elite-level guy in Malik Jackson. So at the very least, you've at least got another tool that you can work with to try to figure out a way, okay, we're probably not going to be as Leo-centric or as, you know, we can't guarantee that Fowler is going to be absolutely elite next year. So can Malik Jackson, Sendarek Marks, can we figure out another way to get pressure rather than it's just that Leo spot coming off the edge?
641-1010, the phone number if you'd like to get in with John Osier. That's the way to do it. We'll start the morning with Alan. Alan, you're first up on Jaguars today. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Good morning to you guys. Hey, I just didn't feel as much of a letdown missing on Vernon because I thought that by signing him, that was going on more like potential because he didn't have such a great year this past year, and nor did Ayers. Am I correct with that?
Ayers actually had the highest sack total of his career this year, whereas Vernon didn't have the high sack total, but all the other numbers that indicate pass rush success in terms of pressure, quarterback hits, tackles for loss, he was actually exceptional in all the other categories.
He was pretty darn good at the end of
right.
in the last eight
particularly
games.
Particularly the second half of the season. But yeah, he, you know, other than the sack total, which is certainly important, Olivier Vernon showed up in all the indicators that you look for from a potential elite pass rusher, whereas Ayers, I don't know down in, down out what he did, but in terms of his sack numbers, was the best he's ever been. So they both had pretty solid seasons.
Well, then I guess we have probably as much of an upside with Dante Fowler, although he hasn't played. So, I mean, it's not all total gloom. I mean, we still have a number one pick coming that didn't play, plus we got a number one pick coming up. So maybe this year we'll hit on it. But that's really about the only thing I was wondering about is just exactly what those other two guys
sure.
did this past year.
All right, Alan, thank you.
There's no question that if Fowler Jr. is what most analysts thought he was, and this was a guy who a lot of people who know football, who studied the draft, really, really liked this guy, maybe even better than the buzz was before the draft. If he's what he's supposed to be, then he's supposed to be a lot better than Olivier Vernon. I mean, that's not
eventually.
Quite, yeah, at some well,
doesn't mean necessarily right out of the gate.
Right,
he's
but you know, this guy is supposed to be an elite level player. Now, obviously, coming off the ACL, first year actually playing, I'm not one to think that it's going to happen 14 sacks immediately. But absolutely, the potential is there for him to be great.
Well,
supposed to be.
One of the things is his versatility, which I wonder if it's going to be somewhat limited because, as Dave Caldwell said, look, this is a one Leo team. We play one Leo, and right now that's going to be Fowler. Had you signed Vernon, he's your Leo, you'd find other ways to implement Fowler and get them both on the field. But it, you know, there's only so many of those you need to play at any one given time. It's just the depth.
In the past, they always played three on third down.
On third down,
I wonder if that's going to change a little bit.
Right, but in the base package, you know, as your typical, you know, early down, first and second down, you want, if you're going to have that much invested in either one of these guys, you want them out on the field as much as possible.
Right.
That's where they stand right now, though. They missed on Olivier Vernon, hit on some of their other targets. We'll come back. I got some questions coming in on the text line for you, John, so we'll get to those coming up as well. 641-1010, John Osier from Jaguars.com here with us on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns.
Oh, you know.
You were worried that that had changed, but no, you can still trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. John, guns4jax.com. It's guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Or visit them at South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville, 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor.
I saw Tony checking Ticketmaster over the break. Is there some sort of live Mad Max musical coming to town?
No.
Mad Max Live.
No, Mad Max Live.
Sunday night.
The Disney version.
No, I was looking at Bill Burr tickets. Thank
Mad
you.
Max Live on ice.
Is he very popular?
I
these
love
commercials.
Bill Burr.
Is he going to be here?
Yeah.
Wait,
he's
when?
Coming in May 8th.
I got to be there.
Do you know him?
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Is he?
I mean,
they're giving
I've
away
gotten
some
into
this
him
morning.
In the last 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
There are times where he really appeals, and it's very funny.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's
what's his shtick? What's the
I don't know that he has a shtick.
Mike, you have Netflix. Go see his new show on Netflix. F is for Family. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's animated. Right. Yeah, it's animated comedy.
All
it's
his
stand
ups are on there
it's
too.
The stand up is what I really like.
I'm assuming
he's got
this
3 hours
is
not of stand
appropriate
up there.
For an 11-year-old, right?
No.
I'm assuming. I just don't know. I don't
May
know anything 8th. About the
That's
guy.
Good. My son might be in town. He's a big Bill Burr fan, too. So.
Excellent. Right. Now you guys can that. All come together yeah. and bond over that. Let's talk linebacker, John. I think that is one position where the Jags certainly need to upgrade. If for nothing else, you got to look with an eye to the future. Telvin Smith is the only guy you feel has a long-term role locked up in that linebacking core.
All right, roll out the list. You got a list?
Well, I do. I have a list of a free agent. You want to start with outside guys right sure. now? See if you've got any interest in these outside linebackers that are available right now. Alden Smith, I would say probably no. He's still suspended for half a season, and most believe he'll end up signing in Oakland, re-signing in Oakland. He felt comfortable there
yeah,
reportedly.
Yeah, it's a tough one to try to work out.
Jags did express some interest in him last year, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I think it was toe in the water type stuff. But, he's been out with all the stuff going on. I don't know that you bring that sort of uncertainty.
Couldn't be reinstated until November anyway. At that point, what are you getting? It's a guy, in shape. Can he help you down the stretch? I don't think that's a big likelihood. I'm going off of just the list that Von Miller's gone, Bruce Irvin's gone, Tahir Whitehead.
I wouldn't
is
mind
gone.
Von Miller. Is that
he's not available to you because of the franchise tag.
Okay,
Mark
well.
Barron is gone. John Simon is gone. Danny Lansana, he's 31 years old, and he's a restricted free agent with the Bucks. Doesn't seem to fit the profile. Mike Neal of the Packers, described as a jack-of-all-trades, master of none, subpar starter, but is versatile enough to play different positions in a 3-4. Good
Sounds
for
awesome.
Him. Doesn't look like he's coming here. I mean, none of these guys, like O'Brien Schofield, that's the kind of guy, situational pass rusher as an outside linebacker. I don't know if that's what they're going to be looking
right.
for.
They sort of signed that in Dan Scuto. I mean, not that player, but the guy who can come in and be a solid veteran, be smart, know where, tough, that sort of thing. They've got that with Scuto. I think they'll sign a linebacker, but I would think of it more as, if you recall last year when a guy got hurt, all of a sudden you were really scared about that position. They need depth at that spot.
Yeah, they do. And that's why, I mean, Miles Jack is a phenomenal player, but it makes a lot of sense for the Jags for a lot of reasons. And right now...
Well, Matt, I think that's where the first two picks are really important for this team. If it's Jack and a pass rusher, then those guys clearly are in the top 40 picks. You're going to want production out of them on the front line. But those second six picks, if that's the right way to say it.
Then the final six, whatever.
Then I think those are where Caldwell and the staff really want to get faster and deeper on defense. I would be surprised if most of those picks, maybe an interior offensive line, they might go another direction. But if three or four of those picks aren't picked for speed, linebacker, special teams, make you faster, give you that swarming sense of, okay, we've got two or three guys in the depth chart who in a couple of years may be Telvin Smith type speed running around. That's what this defense needs more than anything. Get a couple of guys in the first couple of picks who can play right away, and have impact with the pass rush that you hope, and then pick guys who can run.
All right, let's
I don't care where they play.
Let's look at the offensive line here for a minute. Mackenzie Bernadeau comes in, looks like a depth signing, versatile guy, can play some different positions.
That, again, you would. They need guys who you're not scared when they have to play.
Because he's played plenty of football in the National Football
League. And this is a guy who can go do that.
Right. And Kelvin Beachum is reportedly going to be in visiting today. That, to me, knowing how they feel about Jokel, and certainly Parnell is locked in as a starter, is, okay, we lost Sam Young, right? We need a swing tackle, and let's take a look at this guy.
Although Beachum is a guy who I get emails all the time from people, when are they going to get Jokel some, quote, legitimate competition? That's always what
you hear.
Do you
think they're looking to do that, though?
Well, I think he is. I think he's a guy who has played at a high level for at least a short period of time. Now, he's coming off an ACL, so there's that. But, I think
if I were going to do that, I would rather spent the big money on Osemele and brought him in knowing you've got a guaranteed high-level guard at the very worst and a guy who may be able to push your tackle out of that job.
Fair point.
You know, he's got that versatility, and you know, at the very least, he's going to make your offensive line a massively
upgrade. If he wanted to play tackle, I don't know what his feelings were. If Osemele wanted to play tackle, again, it's kind of tough to go out and tell a guy, you're going to be our left tackle.
Well, I understand that. If he doesn't want to do it, he wouldn't come
because
here.
Then they say, well, if I'm your left tackle, what are you doing with this guy out of here?
I would have pursued that avenue. I would have looked into that avenue.
Sure.
That would have been. And maybe, you know, maybe they talked with his agent. Those kind of conversations can happen before you get to the opening of free agency. But as things stand right now, I mean, what guys do you project right now starting for the Jags? And do you think all the starters are accounted for on the O-line? Yeah.
No, because I still think there's something to happen on the interior. It feels like Linder's going to play center. Just from what they're talking about, they keep talking about it being such a good option, and he's such a good player, and it makes sense to get your best interior offensive lineman at what they think is the most important position. So they feel confident that if they have to move Buenco or Shatley into one of those spots, they're okay with that. But they don't. It doesn't sound when they're talking about like they love it. So they've had a history of being able to draft a guy in the third round and have him be a pretty good interior player. So maybe that's where they go with that if they think that's their option.
Talking about the left tackle spot, Beachum obviously coming in for the visit today. 26 years old, he's played left tackle at a pretty high level in this league. I don't think he's signing anywhere just to be a backup. I really don't get that sense from that guy. He's too young to say, yeah, I'll come in and back up. I'll be your swing tackle for you.
Does he have a choice?
Right.
Is the thing, you know, is there somebody out there pursuing him saying, we will make you a starter? I don't know that. But yeah, he's played at a high enough level where I can't imagine in his mind he thinks I'm going somewhere to be a backup.
Maybe, but why take the visit to Jacksonville other than maybe to stoke the market for yourself, which is possible, because I don't think they may tell him you can compete, but Jokel, to me, has got, you know, 1.5 feet in that position based on their investment in him. Dave Caldwell said to us, and you were here, you were listening Friday when he spoke with us, and he's probably told you this as well, that prior to the last week of the season, they had graded Luke Jokel as giving up 2 sacks all year.
Sure.
Which I think the typical Jaguar fan jaw would hit the ground hearing that stat. That is not the perception of Luke. Now, that's not to say he hasn't, you know, made other mistakes.
I get all that, but there's a reason they're talking to Kelvin Beachum.
I understand that, but Kelvin Beachum, Kelvin Beachum is not an automatic,
no,
you sign this guy, he's a plug-and-play left tackle. This guy started, he started 1 year in the league for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and, you know, that's fine. He's got some experience. I'm not saying he wouldn't be better.
Right.
I just, every public and private pronouncement and conversation I've had is that you come away feeling they like Luke Jokel a lot more than the common perception of Luke Jokel's ability. So, you agree or disagree? Do you think that there maybe is a little more wiggle room in their backing of Jokel than
I think if they sign Kelvin Beachum, then there would be I don't think they would sign him to sit on the bench.
Just be Sam Young.
I think, as I've written, does this mean that they think that Joker might be able to play guard? I don't know.
Well, that's a possibility as well. But then you're still talking about, you know, I guess getting your best five linemen on the field, and that's been something that's been discussed before as well. Again, Osemele would have been the guy I would have at least taken a long, hard look at.
Yeah, but I just don't think Kelvin Beachum being a left tackle who believes he can start, I don't think he's necessarily coming here just to be a backup.
And that may be the case. We'll find out. He's here today, or is coming in today.
If the interest is that high, if this is something they're pursuing with guns blazing, to use a Wild West.
I think if they were doing that, we wouldn't be talking about it on the Monday, you know, 5 days into free agency. You know,
maybe they timed it so we could talk about it on a Wild
West. Maybe they did, which would be nice because they do so many damn press conferences right in the middle of the show that we cannot attend. What do you have coming up in the next few days as we continue to cover the first full week?
Today it's what we learned from the first week of free agency, and I anticipate there'll be a couple of moves this week. It sounds like these visits, who knows if they'll happen. But we'll have Jaguars.com live, and I'm interested to see what J.P. Shattuck's lining up for our guest that day.
Oh, that'll Wednesday. Be fantastic. By the way, Tayshaun Gibson is going to be a fan favorite if he can play at all.
Yeah.
Right? He's just a very cool
guy.
Again,
like
great personality.
Like a couple of these guys, I don't think there's any question that as much as we talk about pass rusher, and I get that that's something people wanted, there were significant upgrades in some pretty key spots. And if you look at people looking at this nationally, pretty good free agent class. And, yeah, I think Tayshaun Gibson will be a guy we enjoy interviewing.
All right. He is John Osier, the senior writer for Jaguars.com, at John Osier on Twitter. That's pretty simple enough. And, Johnny, we appreciate you stopping by. You simpleton, you. We'll talk to you later in the week, all right?
All right, buddy.
There he goes. John
Osier,
Jaguars.com. Coming back this Dayton football and the Honda drive around the NFL on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, it's March 14th, Tony. 314 is Pi Day, is what they call it. 3.1415,
clever.
And on and on and on. I know, isn't it, though? 1967, first NFL-AFL common draft. Who went first overall, Tony? Who you got? 1967.
I have no idea.
That'd be a pass rusher by the name and a Miller Lite drinking fool named Bubba Smith. Remember Bubba from the Miller Lite commercials back in the day? Number one overall. He did go on to be a Pro Bowler. Not make the Hall of Fame, though. Clint Jones went number two, followed by Stephen Orr Spurrier as the third overall pick in the 1967 draft by the San Francisco 49ers. One slot ahead of Hall of Famer Bob Greasy. Floyd Little, another Hall of Famer in the first round. Alan Page, Hall of Famer in the first round. Gene Upshaw, Lem Barney in that draft in the second round. Willie Lanier. These are all the Hall of Famers that came out of the 1967 draft. And then way back in round seven, you got Rayfield Wright, Hall of Famer for the Dallas Cowboys. And then in round nine, that's right, there were 17 rounds that year, by the way. Ken Houston, the defensive back, went to the Houston Oilers out of Prairie View, and he became the eighth Hall of Famer out of the 1967 NFL-AFL combined draft class. 1978, the NFL permanently added a seventh official. That would be the side judge. Now they can keep an eye on who's tapping those toes before heading out of bounds. Famous birthdays for this date. Born on March 14th, 1972, Antoine Smith, two-time Super Bowl champ with the New England Patriots. He had a trio of Jacksonville Jaguars, all born on the same date, and at one point they all played together. Tony, Deion Grant and Reggie Hayward were born in 1979 on March 14th, and Darryl Smith was born in 1982 on this date. So happy 34th to Darryl, happy 37th to Deion and Reggie. Ron Dayne, the all-time leading collegiate rusher. I don't know if he still is if you combine bowl games or not in there. Because yeah, the one era counted bowl game stats. Another one didn't. And anyway, combined all his numbers, he's over 7,000 yards in college is what he was able to rush for. And the 1999 Heisman Trophy winner, although mostly a disappointment, let's just say, in the National Football League, if not an outright flop. That is this date in football. It's brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry here in town on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
According to sportsreference.com/CFB, yes, Ron Dane is still the all-time rushing leader
all-time
in college
rushing
football
leader.
History, followed by Tony Dorsett and Ricky Williams.
What do they credit him for yardage-wise?
7,125.
I think that includes bowl games for Ron Dane then, because I think they started counting bowl games at a certain point, but some guys who are older don't have that involved in their total.
Yeah, I think I have a Ron Dane jersey at home in the closet.
Do you?
I believe I do.
I'm guessing that's a Giants version, not a Wisconsin Badger.
I'm pretty sure. Well, I know it's not a Wisconsin one. It would be a Giants one. Pittsburgh wide receiver Martavis Bryant could be facing a year-long suspension from the NFL related to the league's drug testing policy. Bryant was suspended 4 games last season to start the year, and according to his agent, planned to enter into a rehab facility yesterday. He is reportedly suffering from severe depression. San Diego and cornerback Casey Hayward have agreed to terms on a 3-year contract. Chicago and defensive tackle Akeem Hicks have agreed to terms on a 2-year contract. Chris Long, who may be the most sought-after pass rusher left on the free agency market, is expected to visit with New England today. He's already been in Atlanta for a visit. And on the Jags front, as we mentioned a few moments ago, Pittsburgh Steelers offensive tackle Kelvin Beachum is reportedly visiting with the team today. 26 years old, coming off a torn ACL last season.
And if you want to catch up on the thoughts of Dave Caldwell on a number of the signings that happened last week for the Jaguars, or be just the state of the roster, where they still need to fill in some holes and things like that. Dave sat down with us on Friday for an extended conversation. We'll have that coming your way if you missed it at the bottom of the hour, so you'll get to hear his thoughts on that. And really the only thing that's not fresh and timely is the discussion of visiting with Robert Ayers and Prince Amukamara, and how that process plays itself out. And, of course, they signed Amukamara later in the day. Ayers agreed to a 3-year term, or a 3-year deal in Tampa for $21 million. Got this one in on the text line, Tony, at 641-1010. Is it any concern that it seems like Dave Caldwell has scrapped his build the team through the draft philosophy and has gone heavy on free agents? I like the way the team was headed with our draft picks developing. Now we aren't relying on that. Instead, we're throwing money at free agents hoping they answer our needs. I don't think it's ever going to be either or, okay? Now, you may get to the point where an organization becomes primarily or almost completely draft dependent, like the Green Bay Packers. But along the way, until you build up that base of talent, it's very tough to build it strictly through the draft unless you have talent already on hand. Because, Tony, as those guys mature, you only get so many draft picks every year, and as they mature, they're all going to hit free agency at the same time. Can you keep them all together? You've got to plug holes. Most teams plug holes. I don't think they've given up on their philosophy of building this team through the draft. I just think that the reality was, when they took over a few years ago, there were very few guys that you wanted to be a part of the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars for the long term. And so you had so many holes to fill. They did try to draft in the early years. They spent in free agency last year, and then they really went after it this year. You have to spend 89% of the cap in cash on a 4-year rolling average. You have to spend money. They have holes. You can't fix them all in the upcoming NFL draft. I don't think, from my eyes, they haven't scrapped the build through the draft philosophy. I think you've got to be a realist and say, we'd like to do that in a perfect world. And as we continue to do that, what's wrong with getting a bunch of guys, primarily the guys they sign are in their mid-20s, who you figure have 3 to 6 really good years left in the league?
The build through the draft model works if you've had good drafts. That's the bottom line. Why can Green Bay get away with being a team that doesn't have to be real active in free agency? They've been really good in the draft. So they have a lot of players that they drafted 4 and 5 years ago that they're keeping because they made the right decision in drafting those guys. Jacksonville doesn't have that. Quite simple, they just don't have it. They didn't have that base when Caldwell and Bradley got here. You have to have 53 players on the roster. They can't all come from the draft. They've only had 3 of them. So you have to build it somehow. And they feel like they had an offense that's ready to compete and a defense that needed some help, and they got $90 million to spend. It's not scrapping the philosophy. It's taking advantage of the opportunity that you have to improve your roster. If they didn't spend money in free agency this year, I would be ripping them open. Honestly, because what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing? What are you waiting on? There's no reason not to at this point for this Jaguars team. And like you said, it's not like Malik Jackson's a 30-year-old guy. He's 25, 26 years old. DeSean Gibson, same thing. They're young guys. They're basically guys coming off that first contract that the teams that are losing them just couldn't keep. There's nothing wrong with doing that in free agency.
And what they've done is they've been smart with their money, as far as we can tell. And Dave Caldwell addressed this. They're in great position to re-sign anyone who needs re-signing. Anyone that they value as a long-term piece, they're not going to have issues offering them a competitive contract, be that Blake Bortles eventually, Allen Robinson eventually, or maybe even a guy like Allen Hurns this offseason. If you look at the offense, just look at the offense right now, okay? Your quarterback, certainly, right? You're one of your top two running backs. Let's consider T.J. Yeldon the starter because he's the holdover. So you've got your quarterback, your running back, your two starting receivers right now. The two immediately behind them on the depth chart as well in Lee and Green. You've got three offensive linemen starters. All that's come through the draft. That's been the strength of your team, the offensive side. So, all right, so you plug in, you're going to have to find a guard. And you've got Parnell, who was a right tackle signing. And then you signed Julius Thomas last year. So those are your non-draft starters
right
on that side. That's pretty good, I think, considering that basically you've got no holdovers on offense with the exception of Mercedes Lewis from just a few years ago.
No, and look, if you want to be critical of Caldwell and whatever this process has been and building through the draft, then the criticism comes in that they feel the need to sign Prince Amukamara because Dwayne Grotz didn't work out. The criticism comes that there's still questions about whether Jonathan Cyprian's the strong safety for this football team going forward. It's that they've had draft picks on defense that haven't worked for this football team. That's where the criticism should come, not that they've recognized that and are trying to fix it via the avenue that they have right now in free agency. I have no problem with them signing Amukamara, any of these guys. No problem with that at all. I think there is some deserved criticism for Dwayne Grotz being the third-round pick and you saying that you thought he was the last starting-caliber cornerback, and 2 years later, it's gone.
Right.
Just gone. And the same kind of thing with Cyprian. You're still waiting on him to be the strong safety for this football team. That's where they deserve criticism.
They do, but and I'm not trying to carry the company water. We're critical when we deem it necessary, and all you have to do is look at the record. I mean, we're the ones, Tony and I, were unanimous that we couldn't have brought the head coach back under those circumstances. I understand why they did it, but we would have made a different choice at that point in time. Nobody's going to bat 1,000 in the draft. So you're going to have some misses along the way, but you hope you don't have too many critical ones in the first three rounds. And you look back on that first draft of Dave Caldwell's, and you got to be a little skeptical about where things stand right now. I know, again,
at best, they're 1.5 for 3 right now. At best. That's if you're being very, very positive about Jokel and you're giving Cyprian a half.
I can see a whole 1 from Luke Jokel, but all right, I'll give you 1.5
That's
out of 3.
If you're being very
positive.
I think
you are being pretty positive with that. So, you know, but on the same token, Tony, they get a guy like A.J. Cannon in the third round last year, and he starts sooner probably than they expected him to, and he does a pretty good job to the point now he is looked at as a key cog going forward in the future. Brandon Linder, success in the first three rounds. Allen Robinson, success in the first three rounds. Blake Bortles, success in the first three rounds. And we don't know yet about guys like Dante Fowler and some others.
Sure.
Not everybody's going to develop overnight. But, again, the bottom line is we don't think they're abandoning the build through the draft philosophy. The core of the team, they want that to be the case, but you can't get it all through the draft or else you'd be waiting. And I think, like Tony said, you would have been ticked off if they didn't spend that money. I mean, really, is that the alternative? Let's just sit back and just extend the contracts of anyone we happen to pick in the draft because you would be right now still looking for plenty of defensive line help and you still may need more, still looking for a safety. You can't answer all these things in one fell swoop. You would have had to draft a running back, right? I mean, if you're not active in free agency, and as Dave Caldwell said, they still may. I just think he's keeping his options open. He doesn't want to cut off anything. I mean, at this point, I'd be surprised that they draft a running back. But with 8 picks, you get late in the draft if somebody is a value at whatever position. I don't think, you spent a 6-round pick on a running back.
They can tell me that Corey Grant's their burner all they want, but if we got to the 4th round and the Jags are on the clock and Keith Marshall's there, would I have any problem with them taking him? No. None.
Right.
None. But that's the kind of thing I'd be looking for at running back.
All right. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is the number. We'll take an early look at the fan feedback spotlight coming back in a minute, which just asks you today that after the first wave of signings for the Jaguars, what do you see as the position or positions in most dire need of an upgrade right now? We'll discuss that coming back, and you hear our entire conversation with Jaguar General Manager Dave Caldwell still to come in this hour. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars Today. Coming up, if you missed it Friday, our conversation with Jaguar General Manager Dave Caldwell. Hit a lot of highs and low points. Somebody asked Tyler off the air, what happens if the Jags don't hit the 89% threshold on spending? It's not an issue. Dave Caldwell made it sound like they've already reached the 89% threshold on spending. And it's not that your cap figure needs to be 89% of what the cap is. It's that you need to spend in any given year in cash 89% of the cap, and that is on a four-year average. But again, if you give a $20 million contract and a five-year deal, the cap hit on that is $4 million. But towards the formula of hitting the 89%, all $20 million counts because you're paying that cash out that year. So it's a lot easier to hit that 89% threshold than it is to hit 89% of the cap as far as that goes. So it's not an issue. Dave Caldwell, in fact, Tony, really gave the impression like, They're beyond it, and he kind of just chuckled.
He kind of scoffs every time it gets brought up.
He also scoffed at the idea that Chris Ivory is going to make $6 million a year. And when you look at the details of the contract, you see why. He's got $10 million guaranteed, but of that $10 million guaranteed, I want to say $5.5 million of that is his salaries of the first 2 years. He's making $2 million in salary this year, and he's got a bonus of, what has he got, a signing bonus of like $5 million, something like that. I forget what the – anyway, the cap hit for Chris Ivory this year.
Yeah, $5
million. $5 million, right, over a five-year deal. So the cap hit for Chris Ivory this year should be $3 million, right? So basically, he is going to make less this year and count less against the cap than Toby Gerhart was scheduled to make, who has since been released, because Toby would have had a $500,000 bonus coming up, a roster bonus, which would have put his total compensation at $3.5 million this year. So it's funny, those things get reported. Oh, Chris Ivory's going to make it $6 million a year. Well, if he plays 5 years and he earns every penny of that contract, it will average that. Great likelihood is that scenario will not play out.
No.
Right. So
that's probably not going to happen. Is there a chance that Malik Jackson's going to get $90 million from the Jags? Yeah.
Yes.
There's a chance of that.
I think there's a bigger chance. Yes, certainly a bigger chance of that
happening.
There's
a chance that Malik Jackson's a really good player in Jacksonville for 6 years.
Right. And even with the 90, he's got to hit a few incentives to get the last few $1 million in there. But, hey, you should hope that they pay him $90 million. That means he's been a hell of a performer for your football team and worth the contract that he signed. Today, Fan Feedback Spotlight. Let's get an early look at this, Tony. In terms of the position that still needs the most upgrading, I know we're getting a lot of defensive end in there. I don't know if I agree with that. I'm not saying it doesn't need upgrading, but I'm talking about if we had to play today, what position are you most concerned about? I don't know if that is the position I'm most concerned about. I'd have more concern in the linebacking core, although you could put your starting team out there. Certainly the depth is shaky. You could, same thing for DN. Offensive line, who's your left guard right now? I don't know if that question is answered. They have candidates, but they don't have a clear-cut answer. What do we get on Twitter today?
Here's what we got from Mike, defensive end, from Paolo. I trust Fowler will be a beast, but we need more depth at that Leo spot. From Daniel, it's a tie between linebacker and offensive line. They are okay, but have to get better and more consistent. From Jeff, linebacker. From Brian, linebacker, control intermediate routes, rush on demand, Miles Jack every day, twice on Sunday, covered in chocolate on Easter. From Eric, linebacker didn't get addressed, so I would say that area needs the most help. Hello, Miles Jack from Staff Prime. Edge rusher slash pass rusher and linebacker, hashtag draft Jack. From Irish Jaguar, edge rush from Ryan. Linebacker, either strong side or middle, must add speed. And from Chef Jags, I know I'm probably alone in this, but I still think we need pass rush, hashtag sarcasm.
Right. No, you're not alone, certainly, and we grant your sarcasm. On Facebook, Miguel said interior lineman, specifically a center. Hoyle said linebacker, but Miles Jack will fix that when the draft rolls around, hashtag jack of all trades. Boy, by the time the draft rolls around, Miles Jack Frenzy could be at a fever pitch.
Feels that way.
And right now, if I get a guess, I don't think he's going to be there either at number five, and it makes me sick. Tom went with the offensive line. Joshua went with depth at the offensive tackle positions. Maury said, obviously, pass rusher. Damon said, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. Damn it, is what he said. Joe went with the auto or strong side linebacker or whatever they're calling that third linebacker spot. And Steven said, the non-sexy answer would be offensive and defensive lines. Hey, continue to make this roster better from top to bottom. We will talk to the guy who's efforting to do just that. We had our conversation with Dave Caldwell on Friday, and if you didn't hear it, I think you'll find some really interesting nuggets in there. If you did, you'll refresh what you had to hear, because that's coming up next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today on Friday. Mike and I had the opportunity to sit down with Jacksonville Jaguars general manager Dave Caldwell here in studio at Everbank Field and talk a little bit about not only free agency, but about maybe some of the plans for a draft, where the roster stands right now with some of the additions they've had in free agency, how they feel about Luke Jokel. Wanted to give you another opportunity to hear that conversation. Here that is, Mike Dempsey and I sitting down with Dave Caldwell on Friday.
Everyone's going to be upset that my first question is going to be, how you doing?
I am doing great right now. I'm got a cup of coffee and just kind of waiting to see how this day unfolds today.
And that the second question is, how do you think this day is going to unfold today?
Well, we'll see. You know, we don't have to do anything today, and if it makes sense for us, we'll do it. You know, we have a couple players in today, and we'll see. It's you know, we're not going to go overboard. This is phase two, and if they want to be here and we can come to an agreement with them, then we'll do it. But this isn't the time to be overly aggressive like it was in the first couple of days.
Yeah, and just for clarity for people who may not know, not everybody follows every iota of news. Robert Ayers and Prince Amukamara are the guys visiting with
yep,
you today.
That's right.
Right? Yep. Defensive end and cornerback formerly now with the New York Giants.
Yeah, and for fans who maybe don't know what that means, it means they're in town, but what does it mean when a player is visiting you?
Well, Robert got in last night, and he was able to have dinner with us, and, you know, we took all the four new guys out to dinner last night at North Beach Fish Camp, and then we came back today, but Robert got in time to meet the four new guys, which was good, and he and Malik have a history together because they played together at Tennessee and at Denver. So that was good for that purpose. And then Prince got in late last night. Those guys got up early this morning and did their physical with our team doctor, Dr. Kaplan, over there at JOI. And then and so they just finished up with that, and then they'll come out, meet with our coaches. I'll meet with them, you know, before lunch some point in time. They'll go grab lunch somewhere and then come back and kind of, you know, weigh their options. Hey, I have this offer from here. I have another offer somewhere else, or I may just wait to see what it's gonna be. Just because they leave here doesn't not necessarily mean we won't sign them. You know, some of them may want to go take another visit and stuff like that, which is understandable.
Dave Caldwell here with us talking about Jags free agency. You signed a couple of guys that project to start immediately for you on defense, Malik Jackson and Tashawn Gibson. You spoke about them a little bit yesterday, but just talk a little bit again, if you could, about the role that the team envisions for Malik Jackson particularly.
Yeah, he's very versatile. I think, you know, the inside pass rush, you know, we play Andrew Luck, Marcus Mariota, and now Brock Osweiler, and then be able to get a quarterback off their mark, the easiest way to do it is to bother quarterbacks is with an inside rush, and he does that better than anybody. You couple that with the hope that Derek Marks comes back, and then you're sitting there with two really good 300-plus pound inside rushers that could be formidable. You know, you don't have to have two great outside guys, but if you have two really good inside guys and a really good outside guy and Dante Fowler, you're better off than most teams. And then we have the draft to maybe find a complement to those guys on the other side too. Robert Ayers, if he's in the fold, you know, he can play outside too. So, the cupboard's not bare, by any means. In addition of Malik and getting Derek and Dante back, we feel good about those.
Hey, you mentioned Derek a couple of times there. As far as you know, is the expectation that by training camp or whatever the time period is that he is going to be as fully recovered as he needs to be?
He should be, and even before that, I would assume that by OTAs he should be out there and ready to go.
We knew going into the offseason that defense was going to be the priority. You've talked about that that pass rush is what you really wanted to improve. Find some way to get to the opposing quarterback. You bring in Malik Jackson, obviously one of your top targets. You miss out on Olivier Vernon. How disappointing was that for you?
Well, there, it was disappointing, and there was a sense of relief, too. And, you know, like I said yesterday, we got way out of our comfort zone on this deal and never imagined that it would get to the numbers that it got to. And, you know, like I said, he did not make this decision based off of financial situations. He made this decision based off other reasons as to, you know, maybe something that drew him to New York versus Jacksonville, and maybe being a Florida kid his whole life, he wanted to go experience something different. You know, I can't comment on what his reasons were, but I assure you it wasn't financially. And then after, you know, so there was a sense of relief of, you know, not that we dodged the bullet, but you never know. And, you know, we went through some things last year in similar situations where we didn't get guys. And to be honest with you, it ended up working out for the better. And, you know, we ended up drafting TJ Yeldon in the second round. And that worked out. We ended up drafting Rashad Green in the fifth round. And that really worked out. And we looked at him like, wow, we may have saved ourselves about $20 million. And we probably got similar type of production out of those two guys. So, these things work out for a reason. You know, we take our best shot. We're aggressive with it. And, you know, we have other means of improving this team too.
Chris Ivory comes in to compliment T.J. Yeldon, to work with T.J. Yeldon in the backfield. Tony and I were talking about this. You look at the money and you say, wow, that's pretty decent money on the free agent market for Chris Ivory. Do you look at it as, here's our position group, and this is as much as we're willing to allocate to the group? Is that a consideration when you're trying to, you know, balance the book, so to speak?
Well, if you look at the deal, and which the reported stuff may or may not be accurate, what you see out there, so if at best case scenario you say we sign him to a $6 million deal, which has been reported, which not
you're freaking clear up any
deal. The smile makes me think that's not the deal.
You might have had more of a team friendly front end of the contract.
So that's a deal, and then you say, okay, well, we got TJ at less than $1 million. You got two really good backs at $7 million. Well, that's good because, you know, some of the really good backs just got paid $7 million,
sure,
a year. So now we got two guys at that price. And, you know, we get him for 3 or 4 years. And, you know, by that time, you know, TJ's maybe ready to be that veteran. And then, you know, we have time in the next couple of years to bring in another young guy. Doesn't mean we won't draft a guy this year either, but now we don't have to.
Why Chris Ivory as your target? Was he your primary target? And as opposed to some of the other guys, Lamar Miller was available, Doug Martin available, Matt Forte.
Yeah.
Why Ivory
the
for you?
Guys, Ivory for us was really just a guy that his aggressive, urgent run style. He is an aggressive guy. He's very physical, and short yardage is important to us. And you know, we had our issues there. He's very good at that. But he's a little bit different. You know, TJ's a patient runner. He's got excellent vision, but he's more of a pick and slide, where Chris is get the ball, one cut, and he's heading north and south. That's a good compliment, and that'll keep defenses on their toes a little bit.
2 years ago, you guys liked DeSean Gibson up there in Cleveland. He had a really good season in 2014, kind of a step back last year. Was he the guy you targeted at the free safety spot?
He was, and you know, there was a couple other guys that we liked, and DeSean, you know, a year ago we contemplated going after him off of the RFA tender, and we just didn't do it, and because of the knee, he was coming off of a knee injury. And then coming into this year, we said he didn't have as good a year, but really felt like his skill set and our system, he could flourish and not only get back to the 2014 level, but be better than that.
Jaguar General Manager Dave Caldwell here with us. Offensive line is a spot, or, you know, as a group that people think could use a little more fortifying. Do you think right now, if you add an offensive lineman, is it for competition? Is it for depth? Do you think you've got enough on the roster right now that you could go to battle with a starting five?
I think we have enough right now that we can go to battle. We're always looking to improve it, and we're always looking to add competition and depth. And between now and training camp, there will be, whether it's through the draft or whether it's through you know, free agency. Some guys may get cut. Some guys may get let go if we want to get a gritty veteran in here. And so I'm not concerned if we did nothing. I think we'll be more than okay. We get Brandon Linder back, you know, he missed 14 games last year, and to get him back in full swing. And then A.J. Kahn's got another year under his belt. Jeremy Parnell, another year under his belt. Luke Joko, another year under his belt. And then, you know, we have some guys that we like that are here, and Luke Bawenko, Tyler Shatley, Chris Reed, who was on our practice squad, Kadeem Edwards, who was on our practice squad. Those guys are viable NFL starting type of options.
Give us your view as it stands at the moment of Luke Joeckel and where he stands in his career, because you understand how fans react. He was a very high draft pick, ended the season with a bad game. He's been a guy that has been a focus of criticism from the fan base and the media as well. Where does he sit in the eyes of the Jaguar organization?
Well, I think when you take somebody with the second pick overall, there's expectations. And I was reading an article at the Combine about how teams have to be a lot more patient with their draft picks because, some of these guys aren't ready. And you think about Luke Joeckel, and we talk about how great A.J. Kahn played last year. To put things in perspective for you, A.J. Kahn is a month older than Luke Joeckel, and A.J. Kahn played his rookie ball last year. We would never make excuses for Luke. He's played some excellent games this year, played very good games. I think up until the last game of the season, he may have given up maybe 2 sacks all year for a left tackle. Pretty impressive. But then in the last game of the season, it was not very pretty, and I think Luke knows that. He was going against a couple of great players. But I would say that he hasn't reached his ceiling yet. I think he has a lot of room for improvement. I think he needs to improve, but I think he knows that too. And, he's in here every day working out, getting stronger. And, I think he's good enough for us to get to where we want to be, and ultimately that's a Super Bowl championship. But he has to get better, and along with everybody else.
Dave, you mentioned getting out of your comfort zone a little bit with the Vernon negotiations. Was this free agency frenzy what you expected it to be, the kind of money that got thrown around? Is that where you expected it to be?
It was, and it was interesting talking to the guys last night that we signed. You never really know how close or how far you are from the other teams. And talking to the guys last night and then circling back with some of the agents and then even some of the teams that were after the guys, realizing that it was actually surprising that we got some of the guys and that some of the guys had some pretty good offers from other places. And it was very close. And some of the places that you wouldn't expect them to choose Jacksonville over, which was great to hear. And we were excited about that.
Let's switch it back over to defense here for a second. Now with Tayshaun Gibson coming in, it looks like it sets up Jonathan Cyprien versus James Sample, a battle for the strong safety spot. I get asked this a lot, and maybe it's a crazy question. You can put me in my place, but people ask me, what about Cyprien maybe playing some linebacker? Could he play some linebacker if, say, Sample was a starting free safety? And also get asked about Scooter. Could Scooter be more of a defensive end in certain packages if you fail to land, the kind of depth you're looking for? What about those two guys?
Well, we've discussed both of those options. And, yeah, Sip, he has a skill set where he could play linebacker. The tough situation is you're looking at him being 220, Telvin being just under 220. Now you get really small. You get a lot faster, a lot more athletic. So you got to be careful. You don't want it too many small guys. If you have Telvin and you have Puz and then you have Scoot at linebacker, well, you can be okay with one, and Telvin makes up with it for his speed. As far as Scooter, it's funny because we talk about that a lot, and the plan was last year to use him at that. And right when we were about to make that move to put him down at the Leo spot or do some rushing inside, he pulled his he had a soft tissue injury. He had a groin injury, so he kind of missed towards the end of the season. And we were going to do that. That's the plan moving forward with him.
Does what you've done in the first 2 days of free agency, obviously still a lot more time to work in free agency, but does any of that affect how you think about the number 5 pick?
Not right now. I think the number 5 pick, we don't know who's going to be there. We can have, we have to make sure we can put this roster together and be as good as it can be. So when the number 5 pick comes around, we're not forced to reach for a player, and we're not forced to that if the player that we thought was going to be there and now we have a hole and he's all of a sudden gone, then we're in trouble. So the object is to make this roster as good as it can be before the draft and then take the best player available.
I would think you would want as many quarterbacks to go if the first four teams want to take quarterbacks, you'd be okay with that this year. we're following the stories and we're such NFL junkies, and Cleveland may be in the mix for Colin Kaepernick. Does that take them out of drafting a quarterback at number 2? Are you at the stage right now where you could say, I've got 5 guys I love, no matter what goes ahead of me in the draft, I'm going to come up with a guy I love with the 5th pick?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll get somebody really good there, and there'll be no problem finding a very good player with the 5th pick, and it may not be a household name, it may be a household name, you never know.
A lot of the questions we get are about the Leo position, specifically Dante Fowler obviously didn't play at all last year. Is there still any thought to moving him around at all? And what kind of role do you expect for Ryan Davis coming back?
Yeah. So Dante, you know, I think the wise thing and the prudent thing for us will be to put him at the Leo position and let him get as many reps as he can in order to be successful there. Once he has that, and then once teams figure out that, hey, this guy's pretty good, we might have to chip him and double team him. That's when you start to say, okay, Dante, maybe we'll move you around. Maybe we'll move you inside a little bit. Maybe we'll move you, to over to center. Maybe we'll put you in a 2-point stance. Maybe we'll let you rush from here or there. But I think right now, let him master that Leo position. Like I said yesterday, I saw a video of him working out. Very, very encouraged by what I saw. He's in very good shape. He's leaned down, and he looked explosive and quick and coming off the ball there.
You're getting to the point now where it's a great problem to have. How are we going to make all these guys happy on offense? Got so many playmakers. I mean, really, you got 2,000-yard receivers, former Pro Bowl tight end. Now you have two running backs that are going to need the football, Rashad Green, Marquise Lee. What about Marquise? What are you expecting out of him this season?
I know he's working really hard. He was in last week, was here for a full week, went back, and he's in and out of school. So, but we're keeping tabs on him and making sure he's doing everything according to plan. So I think it's great competition, and that's we are just kind of comparing the roster to 3 years ago. And it's amazing that you're even saying that right now in terms of how we can keep all these guys happy. 3 years ago, we were like, who's going to line up for us at wide receiver and who's going to be our starting tight end? And so that's a good problem to have. But, we have a group of great, great guys in our locker room, and all they want to do is win. All they want to do is be successful. And if you ask Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and Blake Bortles and TJ Yeldon, all they want to do is be successful for the city of Jacksonville.
What about Rashad Green? I know he came back, he missed that time because of the injury, was a dynamic guy in the punt return game for you guys last year. You've had the issues with Marquise Lee staying healthy. How do you feel about Rashad Green if he is asked to just be that number three receiver?
Really good. Shame he got hurt last year with the thumb injury, because he was off to a really good start early in the season, and then finished the season, broke records in terms of Pro Bowl yards per attempt or punt returns per attempt. Feel really good about him and competing there as a slot. I think he could play any of the three positions if we had to miss a guy for a game or two, and really like his work ethic, his demeanor, his toughness, and we really need him to get us good field position in the punt returns, and then possibly work at that slot receiver between him and a guy like Brian Walters, who had a nice year for us last year, too.
Final couple minutes here with Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager on 1010XL. Dave, Allen Hurns, as we understand, eligible for a contract extension, right, because he was undrafted. Is that something that could be in the offseason plans?
We haven't really discussed a lot. I know we think very, very highly of Allen. I think those things will take care of himself. I think if we were to do anything along those lines, it'd be post-draft once all the dust settles and kind of see where we're at and go from there. Obviously, like we said from the beginning, we want to draft and be able to take care of our own. So if we have an opportunity to do that, we'll try to take advantage of it.
Do you feel like you have a pretty good plan in place? I know that's part of the job is always planning ahead. Like, you're going to be taking care of Blake at some point, Allen Robinson, all these guys. You feel like you're very happy with where you stand in terms of your cap management?
Yeah, very good. Tim Walsh, John Idzik that came in last year do a really good job of that. And that's the thing. The last thing we want to do is go 9-7 and then have to blow it all up, in a year from now, or 10-6 and not make the playoffs and then have to blow it up and make difficult decisions. And then all of a sudden you make a run. When we make a run and we want to blow it up, we want to do what Denver did and, come home with a championship.
No doubt.
And then maybe have to
tweak
it a little bit. Yeah. But well, that's the plan. If we can get, Denver went to two Super Bowls in 3 years. Not have to make those tough decisions unless you win a Super Bowl,
and not have to lose your quarterback in the process.
Well, two of them,
right? Exactly, the top two on the depth.
We talked going into free agency. Big splash was a term that we heard a lot. Do you feel like you made the kind of splash that you wanted to early in free agency? What else would you like to get done?
I feel we did. I thought we were very, very solid. I thought we addressed needs that we had. We made our team better in four spots. And at the end of the day, it was just a situation where you know, somebody said if you get 25% of your targets, you had a good free agency. Well, I think we got 75% of our targets, and, you know, we missed out on one. So, and missing out on one will enable us to be more aggressive, you know, down the road if a guy comes available via a salary cap casualty or something like that.
Was Bruce Irvin a guy you had a level of interest in?
We didn't have a I don't think we were going to go down that road ever. And, you know, I think his time in Seattle was really good for him. And I think there was just some things from a fit standpoint that we weren't sure for us.
All right, there you go. Jaguar General Manager Dave Caldwell. I'm sure I'll get now 15 tweets on, you didn't ask him this. We did our best in the time allotted. Dave, we do appreciate time. Always do, man. It was good to see you, and continued success this free agency period.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, buddy.
He's the only guy who calls me skinny. I love this guy.
Skinny T is who you are in Dave Caldwell's eyes. Dave Caldwell, General Manager, your Jacksonville Jaguars.